Hey everyone, it's Judy from Stirring Words, where Kim and I chat every week about God's wisdom on wellness. Now be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a session. But in the meantime, listen in now on our weekly phone conversation. Miss Kimberly.
Hey, Judy, what a joy to hear from you today, my sister.
Well, I was thinking the other day that I should sing to you every time we start our session, but I don't have it prepared yet today, so I won't. You know, that's a warning.
I was going to say thank you so
much. I'm great, and I'm super stoked that we are going to start a new session today. And this came to me, actually, Kim, in the midst of your session that we just finished, where you very directly yet gently spoke to us about the hazards of sugar and sugar addiction and food addiction. And what came to me in that moment was this series that I'm calling EAT, capital E, capital A, capital T, exclamation point. Because I think we focus so much on, you know, what we have to give up instead of all the bounty that God has laid on the table before us. But before I start that, I got nudged by the Spirit that I need to lay a little preface. And today is really the preface to that. And today's session is called He Loves Me. And Kim, I just have to tell you, I feel like we don't. Sometimes we have a hard time even believing that. And even if we do believe it, we don't embrace it enough. And, you know, I think sometimes that impacts our food choices because all too often we decide to eat differently. And, you know, it's this have to, it's a should. We begrudgingly accept, oh, this is going to be a horrible fate. And then not surprisingly, our resolve wanes and, you know, we're back to our old habits. And what I would like to do starting today is to change that paradigm, because the truth of a surrendered heart is this: when we truly understand Jesus' love for us, we follow his commands, we take care of our temple as an act of worship. So that's why I wanted to start this series entitled EAT with He Loves Me, because that changes everything. So if you would pray us in, and today's focus verse is a familiar one, John 3:16.
I'll be happy to, sister. Gracious Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name, wow, we are so grateful that you love us, Father. In fact, as I was looking and meditating on Judy's title here, the old Beatles song came up into my mind, you know, she loves you? Yeah. Okay, I can't sing, but anyway, but I thought about that song. And it's wonderful, Lord, because you do love us. Yeah. And we're grateful, Lord. Our heart indeed sings yeah, out of joy because you love us. So, Father, we just ask that you have your way in this session. If there's anyone out there who's listening that doubts your love for them, then let them know that you love them, not necessarily because we're good, but because you're good. And you are a awesome, wonderful, generous God. And that should inspire us to praise. So have your way in this session, Lord. Convict us with your love. Restore us, revive us with your love. So we ask in the name and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the one that started it all, this scripture, John 3:16, which is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Awesome scripture.
Well, and it's a scripture, Kim, that I think a lot of us learned when we were kids. But that is a meaty verse. That is a profound verse. So we're going to circle back to that again in a moment. But I want to suggest that sometimes it seems like our faith, and let me speak in first person, sometimes it seems like my faith in God's love for me is like the old-fashioned daisy petal test. You know, you've got a daisy and you pull one petal, he loves me. The second petal, he loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. Something good happens, he loves me. Circumstances turn for the worst, oh, he loves me not. So years ago, I found the most fabulous Lenten booklet by a guy by the name of Ty Saltzgiver. And I don't even think it's in print anymore. But it's called 40 Days of Lent. And on Monday, the fifth day of this 40-day devotional, he writes. And he writes about Karl Barth, who some of you may have heard. He was a German theologian. I think he was around World War II-ish, and I'm not sure about that. But Karl Barth said, "All my theology and teaching can be summed up with, Jesus loves me, this I know." That's profound too. That is a kid's song, right? Like generally, we sort of think that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That is a profound message because, again, I'm just going to speak my own truth. Maybe y'all always never, never, ever doubt his love, but I can go, seriously, God, you know, just because of some circumstance. So I'm asking you listeners, do you believe? Do you absolutely, unequivocally believe, regardless of circumstances, that God loves you? And I'm going to say, here's why it matters. If God doesn't love us, we're going to live and act in fear. And because why wouldn't we if we didn't think he was a loving God? If God doesn't love us, we have no hope. Because our hope is eternal and in a merciful and gracious Lord. And if he doesn't love us, look out. Hope is dicey. And if God doesn't love us, we're going to be reluctant to follow and serve him. Like, who wants to serve and follow a tyrant? And maybe most importantly, but maybe not, if God doesn't love us, the Bible is a hoax. Because the Bible is clear that he does. So since most of you listening, we, Kim and I assume, believe in the Bible and believe that it is the holy, infallible word of God, let's see what it says about his love, right? Let's see what the Bible says. So Isaiah 43:4 is where I'm going to start. And it says, "You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you." I mean, write that on a piece of paper and then afterwards put God and read that every day. Because I ask you, do you see yourself as precious in God's eyes? And for any of you who've read Sprinkled Clean, you know, I had some tough years when I actually doubted God's love. I'm like, okay, if you love me, then this and this and this would happen, which was, of course, my vision of him, what he needs to do to show his love to me, right? And candidly, part of my skewed vision was of my father stemmed from my biological dad's paternal parenting. He was big on law. 9 o'clock means 8:55, and there wasn't a bunch of love there. So this whole precious in my eyes That's hard for me to digest, honestly. And again, not surprising, that became my vision of my heavenly father was based on my biological father. So I ask you, listeners, do you believe you are precious in God's eyes? You are honored. He says, and honored. And do you frequently hear him say, I love you? And my question would be, how does your perception of God's love for you impact your thoughts, your emotions, your actions at any given time? So, Kim, I want to keep delving into what God's word says about his love. So would you read Zephaniah 3:17 and then share your thoughts on that passage?
Yes, I'll be happy to, Judy, because Zephaniah 3:17 is literally the scripture that changed my life and my relationship with God. So I'm going to read it first and then I'll tell you that story. But scripture reads, "The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing." And I don't know what God's singing voice sounds like, but I can only imagine that it is amazing. But that before I had that scripture, before I was introduced to that scripture, I went to a Christian women's conference, and that was the theme scripture for the whole series. And I had this image of God being like an angry party pooper, is what I called it. I just thought God was up in heaven with a Bible in one hand and a lightning bolt in the other, and was just waiting for me to make a mistake. And if I did, he would throw the lightning bolt down on me. And of course, if you have that type of image of God, then you're not going to want to be close to someone like that or a being like that. But at that conference, I came to God show himself, his love to me in a very special way. And once I became convinced of God's love, I developed a hunger for his word. So to me, Judy, and I will end with this, if there's someone out there who is having a hard time believing that God loves them, then typically I think that comes from having, like you described almost, an authoritarian type of relationship with someone in their lives who might have made it clear that they would love them less if that person didn't do what they wanted them to do, that love was conditional. But God loves us unconditionally. He loves us because he chooses to. He chose us before the foundation of the world. And to me, that scripture that I read about God so loved the world, we know that when we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. So if we have a hard time believing that for God so loved part, then we're going to have a hard time believing the rest of the Bible. And that's my perspective. That's my belief. So that's where it starts. For God so loved.
I love that. I'm going to read one more Old Testament verse, and it's Hosea 2:19, which reads, "I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and mercy." So betroth is a big word for me because having never been married, I just have to tell you I'm a little bit ambivalent about being betrothed. Again, if I had a husband like my dad, or actually my stepdad, because my mom really didn't choose very well, I'm out. Like the risk benefit analysis. No, I mean, I feel like, okay, I'm going to be in prison. So, but the truth is God isn't my bio dad. He's the great I am. And multiple times in the Old Testament, he describes himself as merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. If you doubt his love for you, saints, chew on that. Merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And so I ask, is that the visual that comes up for you when you think of God? So when we go back to his promise, I will betroth you in steadfast love and mercy. I mean, that sounds like heaven on earth. So I ask you, listeners, is your heavenly husband, capital H, steadfast in his love and forever merciful? Kim, share your comments about God's abundant love.
Well, Judy, I actually just zeroed in on that word abundant, because God is not stingy with his love. Just like I mentioned, that authoritarian person who someone out there may have grown up with and made it, I'll just kind of give you a ration of my love. You know, you've got to do something to earn it. But God's love is abundant. And I actually decided to look that word up. And what it means is available in large quantities, plentiful, generous. So God, he doesn't withhold from us. He gave us his best through his son, Jesus Christ. So the question is, will we receive his love? Because if we have a hard time receiving God's love, then it's going to be very difficult to love our neighbors as ourselves, because God loves us. He created us. And we love others out of the abundance of love that God gives us. So it's a beautiful process. And being able to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves, it begins by receiving in our hearts, not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge, God's abundant love.
Amen, sister. So we've looked at three verses from the Old Testament, but the truth is sometimes the God of the Old Testament seems sort of far, far away, and honestly, sometimes a little rough around the edges with wars and this and that. So let's look at the New Testament and Jesus' love. Kim, I would love you, if you would, to read three verses. One, our focus verse again, John 3:16, then Luke 22:19-20, and Romans 3:23-25.
I'll be happy to, sister. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then Luke 22:19-20. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." And then finally, Romans 3:23-25. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to receive by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins.
What you just read, Kim, is the good news. You read the truth of the gospel, that we are sinners to the core. We are unable to come close to his standard of holiness. And my pastor made a comment a few weeks ago, and I wrote it down because, I mean, it's an obvious comment, but it just hit me. He said, God cannot and will not tolerate sin in his presence. I mean, you just read, all have sinned and falls short of the glory of God. And, you know, we're really quick to note others' shortcomings, but what about ours? I mean, I raised my hand. I got a ton. But God, Kim, our favorite phrase, he so loved us that he gave, that Jesus came, that he revealed God's goodness and glory. and then voluntarily died that we might be saved. John 15:13 is clear. Greater love hath no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. So, Kim, your comment on God's love shown through Jesus.
You know, Judy, it is so awesome when you think about the love of Christ Jesus, because Jesus himself said that there is no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. And so we know that we are even beyond friends. We know we are family, and God has adopted us into his royal family through Jesus's sacrifice. So when we look at some of the things that Jesus did, he was like the epitome of love, how he met needs, he fed the hungry, how he healed the sick, how he, again, gave his very life for us, died for our sins. I mean, really, you cannot put a price tag on Jesus's love for us. And to me, when we meditate on his sacrifice, that should fill our hearts with gratitude. And because he loves us, and because he forgave us of our sins, then that should inspire us to forgive others for the hurt that they have inflicted upon us. In fact, God himself says that we forgive others because God forgave us. And if we don't forgive others, then he won't forgive us. So we want to be sure that we pass on that forgiveness to others as God forgave us. So that's just a wonderful example that Jesus's life gave us through his love.
So the word is clear. God loves us. He sings over us. He says he loves us. He sent his son. And so I'd like to think a moment about how maybe that can and should impact our daily lives and our daily choices. You know, as I said earlier, all too often we approach improved food and fitness from this negative standpoint. Oh, I have to eat carrots and celery now and have to give up all my favorite foods. And I've heard that more than once, and it actually cracks me up that people think that when you start eating well, it's going to be starvation and oppression. I mean, like, that's the visual. Oh, I have to start eating well, so it's going to taste horrible. I'm going to be starving all the time. So, but not only do we whine about that, we also say, and I hate exercise. I mean, it's just, I know I've worked with a ton of people, don't want to change my food, and I hate exercise. Greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. You know, when we truly understand Jesus' love, we follow his commands as an act of worship. And so, what if we considered meals and exercise as sacred times of praise and worship? So, I've mentioned several times, I'll mention again on Facebook at Holy Health Club, I've been using the hashtag active worship. Active worship. And so I'd like to look at Psalm 84:11, which says, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And my question is, listeners, do you believe that? Because I think when we genuinely ingest this truth, our little petty tantrums that all of us do daily are quieted. Because if you honestly feel God calling you to take 1 Corinthians 10:31 seriously, take 1 Corinthians 10:31 to heart, which says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Those "I want that" fits are silenced. And again, I'm good at them, right? I want that, or I don't want that. And I'm sure many of you listening, that applies sometimes to food, but I want that. And yet now I'm challenging you, your new paradigm is God loves me. And he's asked me to care for my body for his glory. So yes, eating healthily and moving regularly, it's a tiny, tiny way to say, God, thank you for loving me first. Some of the verses we've covered, you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will betroth you to me forever in steadfast love and mercy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Greater love hath no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Kim, final comments.
Sister, I'm going to challenge our listeners to make another paradigm shift, because when they start thinking about, I have to do this, all that does is it raises up a spirit of rebellion. Like a little kid, like, you can't make me, that type of thing. However, if you change those three little words, I have to, change them for another three words, I choose to. Because when you say I choose to, then that reminds you that as an adult, that you have agency, that you do have the power to choose. And you're choosing to take care of your body as God's temple, as a way to please and honor him, because he loves you and you love him.
Yes, ma'am. Back to my 40 days of Lent devotional. He says, quite possibly, the only question God may ask when we one day meet him face to face is, did you believe I loved you? Do you believe he loves you? So I am going to give an action invitation and then pray us out. I would encourage you to reread and meditate on the scriptures that we discussed today. And do some journaling about what emotions are stirred up, especially relative to your food and exercise choices. And print those passages out and recite them every time you eat and when you walk this week, so that the context of when you eat and when you move is, I am praising God who first loved me. And Kim and I want to invite you to invite your friends to listen and discuss Stirring Words with you. And both of us have Facebook pages. Please like us, love us, follow us at Holy Health Club and at Take Back Your Temple. So I am going to pray us out. Gracious Father, your love is hard to fathom. When you say we are precious in your eyes and honored, sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. You say you will betroth us to you forever in steadfast love and mercy. And Lord, you've also said that no good thing will you withhold from those who walk uprightly. Lord, we believe these truths because they are in your word. Help us in our unbelief. For we ask it in the name and the power and for the glory of Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Next week is session 1 on Eat. Okay, love you big.
I love you too, sister. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Stirring Words. We hope that our podcast is a trusted partner on your wellness journey. If so, please pray about partnering with us in ministry financially and subscribe at takebackyourtemple.com/donation. Keep tuning in on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss a session. And be sure to tell your friends about us. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to reach out to Kim at takebackyourtemple.com and Judy at holyhealthclub.com. Until next week, may you be stirred by God's transformative word.